I was going to talk today a bit about the fact that, in a way, a lot of our feelings are giving us messages and a teaching for us, and a lot of training is being sensitive to what we're feeling, but also not spinning off with the wrong teaching about what we're feeling. Like guilt is an example of getting a feeling and giving yourself bad teaching about the feeling. It's not the feeling is a problem, it's what we're saying about the feeling is the problem. Like if you make a mistake, you hurt somebody, you do something wrong, you should feel bad about it. In fact, something is wrong when you don't feel bad about it. All you have to do is be around with somebody and they kind of said, "Oh, I'm really sorry about that," but you realize they don't feel bad about doing it, and it feels like, okay, that's not good. You know, I want them to feel bad, but you want to feel like it got in there somehow, that this was not a good thing to do for it. So feeling, and the feelings we get are ways of kind of getting the message into us in a way that's more than just up in our heads, that go into our heart, that we really relate to it. Just like when you do something and you really feel bad about it. Now, the wrong way of doing it is the guilt, where you feel like something is wrong with you or something is wrong with it. Or you cling to it like guilty feelings, you know, just like I think the two biggest religions in New York City when I grew up were actually not Protestants, they were Catholics and Jews. Biggest religion was Catholic, and the next biggest religion were Jews. And actually the only Protestants I ever knew were black. All the blacks were Protestant, largely. I hardly ever knew a white Protestant growing up. In fact, I remember one little kid just looking at me when I was working with small children, and he goes, "Are you Jewish or Catholic?" And I go, "Couldn't I be Protestant?" He goes, "What is a Protestant?" And I bring that up only because a classic thing is both Jews and Catholics both have famous problems with guilt. You know, kind of built Catholic guilt is like a major thing, and Jewish guilt is a major thing. It's less with God, more with your mother, but it's still it's still built into the thing to have a lot of guilt, and a lot of feeling like something is wrong. I mean, Protestants have it too. It's in our culture. All just like actually a lot of Asian cultures don't have as much guilt. They have much more shame. Say, you know, it's like a lot of differences in the culture is that more sensitive to the group and shaming than you are in our culture. Just like I remember watching a thing where Japanese corporations would purposely make their employees do things that were embarrassing. I forget why, but it was just part of the culture that you would want somebody like, "Okay, you're going to stand in the lobby of the building, and as every coming in, you're going to be singing." And it's just embarrassing, you know what I mean? It would be embarrassing. But a lot of training is actually, can we take, kind of properly take the bad feelings in a way that we can use them as positive teaching rather than as something going wrong with the world, ourselves. And part of it is the fact that often we don't, it's built in often not to accept that actually in life we keep making mistakes. In fact, if somebody doesn't feel like they're making mistakes in life, getting some things wrong, it basically means they're deeply deluded. You know, there's a delusion that allows them not to look at themselves. And I'll meet people like that. They don't really, it's like unacceptable that they're getting things wrong. So they just don't want to see what's wrong. They want to get everything right. It's almost like somebody in a relationship that the problem has to just be the other person. They can't do anything wrong. And there's been, I'm sure there's a lot of couples that counts, that the problem's always the other person. To see that you can make a mistake is very essential, and to feel a mistake but not making it into something, learning to make it less personal and just seeing it as part of the human condition, that you're getting something wrong, that you're being insensitive to something, you're being unaware of something. You know, and people will try to say, well, it can't be a mistake, I was trying to do the right thing. We can make a lot of mistakes with good intentions. It's not like the intention is naturally wrong. It's just we got something wrong. And the Buddha had something he kind of said in the scriptures where he says, it's only by seeing the consequences of our harmful actions that we can learn to transform ourselves and be released from those consequences. You know, it's only if you can't see what you're doing wrong, you actually, how can you possibly train? You know, if somebody tells me, well, has no awareness of what they need to transform, then obviously how can they make spiritual progress? Yet, you have to actually feel like it's okay then, that this is what spiritual life is about, is actually transforming the things we don't have right, rather than thinking there's something wrong that I don't have it right. And it's so built into us that we don't want to see, we feel like things shouldn't be imperfect. Ourselves, others, like, how could that person say that, do that, be that? And we get upset at all sorts of things that, you know, you kind of look at and don't want to just accept the fact that people will be upset with somebody with good intentions if they do something wrong. I can say, like, here, somebody will mess something up at the Priory. Helping at the Priory and mess something up, and I'll suddenly realize I'm annoyed at them. You know what I mean? It's like, and I have to kind of think, what realm do I want to live in that not only is somebody helping me, but I want them to help and also get everything right about the help. It's pretty amazing that anyone wants to help, you know what I mean? It's like that somebody wants to help you. The fact that, yet often we can be annoyed at somebody helping because they're not helping. You know, just like in gardening, I can still remember once these vines here, and somebody very nicely trimmed these vines and cut them all so that they were cut from the, you know, that they were all trimmed so that everything going up here was going to die. And I told the person, didn't you kind of realize that? And obviously they didn't kind of get the whole principle of vines and earth and gardening. And you kind of think, how could you not know that? And obviously they didn't know that. That's why they did it. Just like I can remember having a job for a landscaper and he had me do some weeding, and I weeded some of the plants that we were supposed to be weeding around. And he looks at me and goes, those are the ones, you know, that we want to save. And I kind of go, I didn't know. I grew up in a concrete jungle. I was shocked when I found out dandelions weren't sought after flowers, but were weeds. They were my main flower growing up. Because, you know, everywhere there were dandelions, and I thought, wow, these flowers everywhere. Not only that, you can blow. And it's actually by the mindfulness of suffering, of the things that aren't right, that we free ourselves by understanding really what's going on. And part of the understanding is feeling the consequences of our inappropriate speech, our inappropriate actions, our wrong, like wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong actions, wrong effort. All those wrongs have a consequence. And when we feel it, it's a Dharma teaching for us. You know, we say something unkind and we feel regret and embarrassment. That's good. That's what should happen. And people, again, it'll mistake. It's like somebody, I remember people have come up to me after doing something wrong and says, how do I get this to stop hurting so much? Tell them, it's okay to hurt. You know, that's actually the teaching for you. What you don't want to do is say there's something wrong with you or something unforgivable or something. It's just a teaching, you know. You want to learn not to do what causes that feeling. You know, and often, rather than just feeling what we're doing, is we want to come up with an answer for why we feel this way. But why do we make that mistake? It's very easy to start getting into the psychological thing. Well, my parents said I was raised this way, I did this, or, you know, this whole stream of stuff, rather than just sitting still and feeling the karma, seeing the action, and realizing you don't have to understand every reason why you did it. It gets helpful at times to know that, but the main thing is to realize I don't want to be this way. That's the ground of training. It can be helpful to understand. It can give yourself a little more compassion for yourself. But you're trying to have compassion for yourself that whether you understand it or not. I have no understanding why some of my greeds exist. It's like, was I raised to want to eat too many cookies? You know, but on the other hand, I have to deal with that karma. So a lot of things is just taking responsibility that I don't have to say unkind things. I don't have to not do what I need to do, or I can be more mindful, more caring, more compassionate, whatever it is. And that will help me. And a lot of it is just trusting that there's nothing wrong with you that allows you not to have the guilt. Guilt is based usually on clinging to the fact that, in a way, there's something wrong, rather than trying to trust and being in touch with the fact that you have a good heart, good intentions. Not always. I mean, sometimes the good intentions are covered up by karma, by other karma, but underneath it, there's still good intentions on a deeper sense. Like you get angry with somebody, and often you don't have a good intention in the anger, but you realize in the end you do have a good intention and you want to clean up what came out of the anger. Making right speech, and the Buddha actually kind of said it, that we have to know how it feels to, let's say, lose our temper with somebody and be sensitive to it. And sometimes we have to do something which often people kind of go, wow, that's not healthy, which is just, in a way, repress your reaction. And the Buddha kind of said, sometimes you have to just be willing to push your tongue up against the roof of your mouth and grit your teeth. You know, just force yourself, I'm not going to say anything because my feelings are too strong right now. And that's part of training. How do we force ourselves to make the right response? You know, how can we make the best response when we're feeling strongly about something? I've had plenty of situations where I realized I just need to get away from this person because anything I say is not going to come out well. And that's skillful means. I mean, you don't have that luxury in every situation, but there's plenty of situations where I do that expression, bite my tongue, and say, I'll talk to them later when I can hopefully say it in a way that'll be to cause something positive rather than causing something negative. And it feels good to contain in a way. You know, in Buddhism they'll say it's a way of containing the passions. You know, you're going to not do something, not look at something. You know, the same way as just yesterday, Venerable Kung Ju came by with an open bag of corn chips, and I ate some of the corn chips, and I thought, I thought mentally, have to get this bag away from me. I'm not good around an open bag of corn chips. Better for me not to have that around because it's too easy for me to suddenly be eating a lot of corn chips. And guilt is a way of compounding the problem by damaging our sense of well-being, a sense of something right, a sense of something positive. Well, you can make a mistake and still realize it's okay. And if you have a real sense that it's okay, which we're trying to cultivate and remind ourselves, and like that's right thought to do, right view to have, that it's okay to make this mistake. It's okay that somebody, you know, makes mistakes. Somebody will carry like, oh, I can't believe this person said this, when I'll listen to it and think it's kind of normal mistake. And the person will go, well, they should have known better. Well, yes and yes, but we all should know better. Whenever I make a mistake, probably I can come up ways like, maybe I should have known better about that. How did I make that mistake? How did I get caught up in this? In a way, we have to cultivate a sense of well-being so we can feel remorse without feeling guilt. Of course, the guilt will be destructive. Coming up is normal, just to have that normal guilty, but our mind has to counteract that feeling like, oh, there's something wrong. I made a mistake. There's something wrong with me. The thought comes up. That's normal. And we have to kind of counteract it with the fact that, no, this is just part of the human condition. You know, this is the way it is. And when somebody else makes a mistake, to have that forgiveness and actually an understanding that this is a human condition. Just like somebody doesn't know about gardening, they'll make mistakes. Somebody doesn't know about this, they'll make mistakes. Somebody was talking recently with somebody who just keeps having difficulties with people and driving, irritating people, finding her irritating and difficult. I suspect it's because she's irritating and difficult, but that's okay. That's part of, she hopefully can start learning so she can be less irritating and difficult. But sometimes that's part of a lot of their karma they have to deal with. Is there someone who's not sensitive, in that case, usually you're very insensitive to others. And some people have that karma, they're just insensitive to others. They just don't pick up. Obviously, the extreme case is people on the autistic spectrum where they just don't pick up very good on what other people are feeling or thinking, so they're really insensitive. It's like, I remember one autistic woman kind of going, she can't figure out why anybody would care. You know, all this stuff that bothers people, why would anyone care about all these things? And to her, it's like it was the title of one of Oliver Sacks' books about her, Temple Grandin, where she says, she feels like she's a visitor from Mars, that all these earthlings have all these strange feelings and thoughts and all these things that bother them, and it's all kind of inexplicable to her. Well, she felt like she understood cows very well. Had a much better feeling, she thought, I understand cows. Humans are like are like this mystery to me, but cows may.
Do you have the impression she's a much happier person because she doesn't,
Oh, no, it causes a lot. No, it'll cause her a lot of suffering. Because she keeps out. You keep having problems with humans because, you're dealing with a difficulty example. So not knowing why people are annoyed, you still get the karmic consequences that you're. For instance, I remember hearing about one autistic woman, and she didn't even know she was autistic till she was in her 40s. But she was a doctor, and she could never figure out why she never could keep her staff. it was like this mystery to her that people never stayed. She couldn't keep people working for her. And she finally got some insight into it, and then she was appalled by it because she realized it was all that she's just missing everything and driving people crazy, which she had no idea. So, no, I don't think they're... Usually it's fairly difficult. Every case is different, and autism isn't one thing either. You know, it's... You can have different strengths. You know, it's I'm pretty sure it's just a label of a whole mess of different deficiencies you can have all under the label autism. So each case will be different, and how they deal with it and all can be different. But usually it's hard when I meet people on that spectrum. It's hard because they just don't. I remember talking to someone who was on the spectrum, and we come up for Sanzen, and he immediately sprawls out and lays on the couch upstairs, you know, where people go, you know how we sit up there. And he goes onto the couch by the window and just lays down and, you know, and looks at me. And I thought, I think I want you to sit up. And he just didn't. You know, and he ends up having to make a rule for everything because none of it makes any sense to him. But this bothers people, so you have to try to remember. This bothers people. And he naturally would like to have a relationship with somebody, and it's really hard when you have trouble relating to people to have a good relationship. So that really bothered him a lot, that, you know, he couldn't have, you know, he doesn't usually have a romantic relationship because he still wanted it, and maybe he can get it, but, you know, it's harder when you won't know what's bothering the other person. And part of it is just accepting the pervasiveness of our own imperfections and the world's imperfections. And there's just such a strong karmic tendency to want things, not to want things messy, not to want things like, oh, there's all these mistakes, all these problems, all these difficulties. We all want a realm, the world, ourselves, to be this nice, clean, harmonious place. And a lot of training is just accepting it'll never be that way. You're in samsara. This isn't everyone has karma to transform. There aren't a realm full of enlightened beings that are all kind of doing the right thing. It's even why people will have difficulties in religious, like, you know, somebody goes to the abbey and suddenly, God, these people are difficult to put up with. And you think, and they'll say, well, they're really all really nice, kind, good people, but they're difficult. Because even good people are difficult. And we can all think in our lives, we know people who are good and they drive us crazy. I mean, the two, one doesn't stand against the other, that just having a good heart means you're... And then there's plenty of people who, due to life, don't have that good heart, doesn't show because they're too deluded, too messed up to kind of show that. And that's the nature of karma. You know, just like if somebody had a brutal upbringing, it's hard for them not to often to overcome it and not be a mess themselves that hurts others. And we have to realize that's just the nature of the world. And we're part of that world. And we can learn to be at peace with it and get a sense that this of the rightness that's there, just like the rightness in others, just like, you know, seeing the good heart in somebody who is doing things that are making life difficult. You know, just like the way a parent often can do with a child, where they can see the good in the child, even no matter what the child does. Judging the child there, trusting that there's something good there. And that's actually, in a way, how we have to try to be with everything, with all the 50-year-old children out there. And that's why if you practice, you start seeing more good there, and you start seeing that it's not like life is this depressing, difficult thing, but there's good everywhere. It's bad too, but there's also good, and you can just be in tapping into that good that's there, just like, you know, there's people who, you know, kind, good, caring people everywhere I look. You know, it's not like it's people, you know, doing difficult stuff, and to kind of be aware of it, just, you know, like in a, I remember writing in a recent article, just listening to accounts of just hospital staffs dealing with COVID and just the bodhisattvas there. And, you know, we almost take it for granted that people are willing to do that. You know, just like I can think, you know, my brother, a while, year and a half ago, had a heart transplant, and I think the heart popped up, and I think they had to come in the middle of the night. You know, and you get this enormous team of people waking up, getting out of bed, or not going to bed, and doing, you know, this long, difficult surgery. And it's a big team, I suspect. I don't know enough about hospitals to do a heart transplant, but I suspect it's quite a large contingent of doctors, nurses, anesthesiologists, everything else, because it sounds like it has to be one of the more difficult. Somehow, new heart has to be a major difficult procedure. And you get these people, you know, in the middle of the night, they're waking up and working through the night to save someone's life. Instead of focusing, wow, this person murdered somebody. You know, there's 10 people, you know, hundreds of people doing good. You know, not killing somebody, and we don't notice it. And we have to understand that the false views of the false actions of everybody just comes out of delusion, looking at things wrongly. Whenever you're angry, selfish, it's just false views. It's just your own delusion that's doing it. You're making something important that isn't. And the key one is, you're not important. When you really take to heart your own insignificance, it's actually liberating. Because it doesn't mean that what happens to you is not a drama. It's just pretty mundane stuff. It's all around you. It's okay, and what happens will be okay. Even falling apart is okay. It happens to everybody. So it's okay to fall apart. It's okay to have difficulty. It's nothing's going wrong with the universe that we have difficulty.